Welcome, everyone, to this week's Pardon the Disruption. It is nice to be back in the judge seat. I apologize for everybody who was subject to RJ Bates judging and hosting last week. I'm going to try to make sure that never happens again. I'm your host, Matthew Potter. This is PTD. Here are our rules. This is how we get down. 5 questions, real estate business, viral video, sports trending. Each panelist will get 60 seconds. Points are awarded during the process. The person with the most points at the end will win. We're going to go ahead and get into intros. We're going to start out with Mr. Disruptor himself over there, Steve Trang. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the people.
What's going on, everyone? Steve Trang, Real Estate Disruptors, closed more sales, just wrapped up an event. We had, I want to say, 13, 14 people in there, and it was the feedback was overwhelmingly positive, so I always enjoy when we can help people get better at their craft. You guys want to get better at sales, go check out closemoresales.com. Looking forward to today's show. RJ seems a little crotchety today. I don't know what's going on. I hope he's okay. I hope everything's fine at home. looking forward to Leon. Always making it classy. It was really inappropriate in this room until Leon showed up. And CJ, it looks like he had like a sip of a charged up energy drink. So I'm looking forward to see how today goes.
There we go. Hey, don't forget, use affiliate code Steve Trang when you're getting some charged up energy drinks over there. All right.
Every penny counts.
Every penny counts. That's right. All right. Next up, we have Richmond VA's own Chris Jefferson. CJ, introduce yourself.
Chris Jefferson, Richmond VA, the U. It's good to be here. Good to see you guys. I have no idea actually what the questions are. Usually I read the questions right before the show. Didn't have an opportunity to today, so I'm excited for this. I'm just going to go off the cuff. I'm going to do my best RJ Bates impression.
CJ, if you have any intention of winning today, I highly suggest you don't go with that. Next up, we have Mr. RJ Bates, this, that, and the third over in Dallas, Fort Worth. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the people.
What's up, guys? Excited to be back on the panel so there can be some intelligent thoughts that are shown today on PDD. If you're wondering, the reason why Steve has a brace on his wrist is because this morning when he went to put on his mom jeans, he accidentally fell over and sprained his wrist. So everyone say a prayer for Steve.
Man, I got to give a point for that. It's just an absolute roast. All right. Last, certainly not least, Mr. Class of PTD, always. We have Leon, do not forget the G Barnes. Introduce yourself to the people.
You guys keep building me up as this classy, classy dude, which I do appreciate. But, you know, after spending a couple days with RJ, I can officially say my class level has gone down tremendously. You'll see some videos that will support that in the future. You will no longer see me as classy with the podcast stuff or the videos that I shot with RJ. So I'm so excited to see those come out in the near future. So, but here's what I will tell you. I'm not brainwashed, and I will not let any of you disrespect RJ today because he might have brainwashed me.
There you go. All right, we got a great show for you. We're going to go ahead and start off with question number one. What are your thoughts on Joe Biden saying houses will be $10,000 cheaper because of the reduction of realtor commissions through negotiation now? Go ahead and start us off, Steve.
Well, I mean, I think it's great. You know, he's been tearing everything down, so why not tear down real estate as well? I think houses will be cheaper, but not because of him. I think it's fascinating. I had a chance to read the press or the transcripts, and he says that we should follow through as realtors and lower our commissions for the greater good of homebuyers, right? I think that's fantastic. I think what would also be good is he followed through on his constitutional responsibilities and actually protected our borders. I think that'd be pretty cool. I think I saw a meme the other day about, like, congratulations, you owe $11,000 in taxes. You can write your check directly to Ukraine. That's exactly how I feel. Every time we're talking about sending hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars to protect Ukraine's borders. So, I think it's fantastic. I think we should lower our commissions. I think corporations should lower their prices. You shouldn't charge $25 for a Big Mac meal. You should charge 35 cents or whatever is reasonable. That's completely arbitrary by somebody in Washington, D.C. so that everyone could be happy. I think it's fantastic. Control prices. that's the best way to make everything better. It's worked in Russia, China, Cuba, Venezuela, and everything else. Everywhere else has been tried. Let's keep doing it.
So for those that are wondering, yes, indeed, we have summoned Angry Steve for today's show. It is going to be fantastic. All right, CJ, what are your thoughts on this? Joe Biden calling on realtors, got to reduce those commissions.
I mean, first and foremost, I couldn't help but listen to Steve and just picture that beautiful border wall that he supported, that they tried to get up. And then I just had that visual from CNN of the ladder going up to the top and climbing over the wall for the border control that you're so passionate about. It works so well. In terms of the whole realtor commission piece, look, this is kind of crazy. You know, they're talking about, you know, that houses will be cheaper. It's inevitable. Houses are already becoming cheaper. It's not about Joe Biden making it something happen to make them cheaper. The market is changing right now. Housing is getting cheaper right now. So, you know, elimination of realtor commission, I think is great. Shout out to NAR, of course. I mean, what are they doing? What are these realtors doing that they're so upset about this commission? I mean, I have never seen so many people in this industry in a tizzy. All right. Then I've seen in the last 2 weeks, all over Facebook, every realtor group I'm in, every realtor that's making a post about it. I mean, they're freaking out, man. I mean, I think it's great.
I think it's great.
Take away the commissions for realtors. Get what you negotiate. Get what you negotiate. All right. It should be on a per client basis. It is what it is.
This guy over here forgets that the judge over here, you know, just say
it's basically. But here's the thing. You're a master negotiator and you provide value to the ecosystem. You're great at short sales, right? You've identified a niche in which you can do business. All right. But there's a lot of realtors out here that are not like you. I don't think you're the norm when it comes to being a realtor, right? Most realtors are out here just running around. All right. And they're 2014 or 2004, whatever. All right. Mercedes, what's those little trucks? A bunch of these realtors drive around in those Mercedes trucks.
The little G-Wagon thing?
Well, it ain't even a G-Wagon. It's like a F-Way. It's an H-Wagon, bro. All right.
The H is like, for homes.
I know I'm going over and I apologize. You know, I'm passionate about realtors. It's my favorite organization on the planet. I just, for the life of me, you know what I hear every realtor say, Potter?
What's up?
Steve said this last week. Commissions have always been negotiable. I wish there was a data set that showed how many times a commission has been negotiated successfully from a client to a realtor in the past 10 years and what that would say.
I mean, technically there is, and you know, we don't need to go down the rabbit hole right now, but the powers that be have those data points, which whatever. We'll get into that discussion later. We're gonna give RJ a chance because you know he definitely needs a chance today. Hopefully he redeems himself. All right, RJ, what are your thoughts on this? Realtor commissions, we're pressing them down for the greater good. Talk to me.
First of all, I don't know what I did to you, Potter. I don't know what kind of childhood trauma you had at 6 years old, okay? But I didn't do anything to you, okay? I have not said one cross word to Matthew Potter today. All right, now, I don't know what kind of guru math Joe Biden is doing, talking about this is going to make houses $10,000 cheaper. If you just eliminated all of the buyer's commission, they just don't even get paid. This buyer's representation is gone. There's no commissions. The average house would have to be $333,000, and then there would be no commission in order for each house to be $10,000 cheaper because of this. I don't know where he came up with this number, and it doesn't make sense, and I don't understand why this is the solution to make housing more affordable, okay, because – on top of this, here's the problem. If that's the case, it's taking away from the equity that's inside of your house because to contradict what CJ said, you've always had the ability to negotiate your commission with your realtor. Okay. I have. In fact, you could just flat out hire flat fee listing services. CJ, you do that, correct?
Yeah, but that's different. I'll wait till it's everybody.
Okay. All right. So I guess that's not negotiable. So you listing a house for $199.
No, I'm talking about the average American. That's my turn.
You got to go for 7.5 minutes. Okay?
You just asked me a question.
Why? It was rhetorical. I'm sorry that your answer was so bad.
Okay.
And then when you list the house, you're putting on the MLS how much you're willing to pay the buyer's agent when you sell the house. So it's always been negotiable. Case in point, I've done a ton of deals in Hawaii where it was put on there. The buyer's agent would only get 2%. And it was commonplace. That was not argued. It never came back where it was like, no, we have to get 3%. I don't understand the $10,000 number. It sounds like guru math to me. It's bullshit. And yeah, Biden's still a moron.
Jeez. All right. Great work there, RJ. We love you coming in with the passion. All right. Leon, what are your thoughts on this hot button topic?
Oh, it's my turn? Finally. I'm sorry. Whew. What was that, 30 minutes? I'm not sure. Matt, you might want to hit that button every once in a while. Oddly enough, I go back to thinking of something that RJ said a few weeks ago where he took something I said, snipped it where he wanted to edit it, and made it sound like I was in favor of everything that Biden's ever done. And this is very similar to me. This is one of those where, goodness, you can't let the truth get in the way of clickbait. Of don't let facts get in the way of what can help your reelection opportunities, right? To me, this is out of touch with reality. The number, I mean, there's so many different price points across this great country that we have that you just throw an arbitrary number of $10,000 out there just tells you, you know, that this is something that, okay, what can we get out there? That clickbait has reached the White House. We're at a point where we're just going to say it's less commissions, so therefore it's less for homes. Well, is that going to help inventory? Does cutting commissions help inventory? Because last I checked, that's what's making prices continue to increase.
I agree, Leon. And here's the other part about this is that when we start throwing out numbers like this, when the White House and our president starts throwing out numbers like this, this is what people now accept as the norm. I know we always laugh and joke that whatever's on the news or these clickbait or this or that, that we think people have common sense. They don't. Now they expect that this is this is pandering to the voters and literally, what are we, you know, 6-7 months away from where, you know, the election is going to be happening. This is going directly in line to just making people feel warm and fuzzy, where in reality, I don't think this is actually happening. I don't think there's going to be that big of a change on realtor commissions. And I mean, do you guys actually think that realtor commissions are going to change that much?
No. I mean, what's coming from the seller side is going to change. There are conversations happening. Who knows exactly where the dust settles? But, you know, again, my biggest fear is not about the realtor commissions. My biggest fear is still going to be the disenfranchised communities. Like, there is going to be, like, there was a reason why installment sales were so popular. It's because mortgage companies were redlining and blockbusting African-American communities, Hispanic communities, right? With this happening, if you think about if a homeowner has to pick, right, and you got one side who is not asking for concessions and commissions, another side is, I believe there's going to be some massive class action lawsuits 5 or 8 years from now for discrimination from the disenfranchised communities that can't pay a 3% commission to the buyer's agent. So we'll see where this goes. That's my biggest fear, is the people that deserve representation don't get it.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, like when it comes to, this is all about cheaper. The word cheaper was used from the White House. But truly, when you think about a 30-year mortgage, guys, you got Potter, you're in this business every single day.
Yes, sir.
What does 10 grand less on a house mean for your monthly mortgage payment?
On average right now, it's about $12. It's $12.
$12. Now, $12 is all of us would like an extra $12 for sure. But does that really move the needle?
No. No, this is.
No, I think a new free market system will be created. I think people will emerge within the realtor industry that are willing to represent people for fees. To what you're trying to, we kind of talked about this last week. To RJ, to what you're saying, right? Yes, am I aware that listing fees and commissions are negotiable? 100%. I do not think that the average person that has no concept of our industry is not taking part in this business whatsoever, that's sitting in their house or their office right now, like, hey, I want to buy my first house for my family. They're not sitting there saying to themselves, these commissions are negotiable. And the realtors that go and sit and meet with them aren't even presenting the fact that they're negotiable. All right. Okay. They're presenting the fact that the commission, standard commission, is 3%. They've already got it pre-filled out on their listing agreement when they slide it across the table. There's no question about, hey, what are you willing to pay for my services? What do you think I'm worth? They just slide the representation agreement across the table. They lock somebody up for 6 months per property or per individual. And that's how realtors do business.
But here's my question on this is we had this argument, and CJ, you and I were on the same side. It was Eric and Steve that were on the other side. If you're a homeowner right now and you're going to sell your house and you look up and you see the entire neighborhood is sold for $300,000, you're still selling your house for $300,000. You're not saying I'm going to list it for less because I don't have to pay a buyer's commission.
No, we agree on that. I don't think that's going to change housing prices. Right.
How does it make the houses cheaper?
Cheaper.
No. I don't think that. That's what I said, though. I don't think this is going to make housing cheaper. I think housing is already going to be cheaper as a byproduct. I don't think it has anything to do with this being proposed.
But this is how out of touch they are. If they had gone and said to everyone that's looking to sell a house, you now could potentially tap into $10,000 more equity.
Yep.
It made sense. We would all be like, well, yeah, there is a possibility now.
I agree with that.
Turn the light bulb on that you can negotiate commissions. But saying $10,000 cheaper, that's just pandering. But
that's the same point I made last week about the disconnect that exists from legislation to reality. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Nobody that's at the table of legislation, nobody that's lobbying for NAR or these other organizations, nobody is, like I was a part of the Virginia Home Builders Association for a very long time, right? Not at any point was there community conversation from that organization that had anything to do with the community whatsoever. The only thing that ever took place was conversation with us as members, paying members, of what our vested interests were and what we wanted this powerful organization to go lobby for on our behalf to get changed for our own financial benefit. It had nothing to do with how it would impact homeowners.
So this is going to be totally weird. But I completely agree with RJ. Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm kind of speechless at the moment.
I'll give to this specific question. I'll give an example of a conversation I had yesterday at lunch. RJ wasn't there. He didn't want to have lunch with me. But I had an interesting conversation as it relates to what the government did in the 1970s, late 1970s and early 1980s. Remember when interest rates were actually in the 15s and all the way up to 20s for mortgages, right? So in order for people to afford homes, the government actually subsidized those, especially for those that made under a certain amount. Mm-hmm. If you want to make houses cheaper, the best way to affect that is where? Interest rate, right? From a monthly affordability standpoint, they did that in the late 1970s, not by just cutting commissions. You can't take credit for something and say it's going to be cheaper just because we made some changes that you didn't do anything to affect that.
Yeah, I think there's two points that CJ made. One where he's 100% wrong. One where he's actually 100% right, or 90% right. I don't want to say 100% right. Right. So the listing commission, it's always been negotiable. I don't know what world CJ is on, because every homeowner wants to negotiate commission. I leverage that fact because I always ask for 7%, right? I knew the fact that we're going to negotiate, I always ask for 7. On the buyer side, though, they've never cared about the commission. I want to say maybe like one out of every like 30 would actually ask for a rebate on the commission.
Mm-hmm.
So only those people, like only a handful of people would actually negotiate the buyer's agent commission. So he's right on that part. Listing agent commission, it's always been negotiated. Buyer's agent commission, that one was very, very rarely negotiated.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But the context of this is in the perspective of buyer's agents, right? Mm-hmm. And we're primarily talking about buyer's agency commissions. And the people that are in a tizzy are the buyer's agents, right? They're the ones that are freaking out and upset right now.
There we go. We let that one go a little long. It's all right. It was a good topic. All right, we're going to get into question number
two. CJ.
We're going to get into question number two. Just like how March Madness produces underdogs in the tournament, what's a strategy in business you feel is underrated? Start us off, CJ.
Cold calling, man. I mean, I'm shocked. go ahead, RJ, I want to give you some time. Go ahead. You feel like cold calling is not underrated?
Go ahead.
No, I mean, RJ is actually a great example of this, him and a bunch of other people. Everybody right now is preaching PPC, lead Zolo and property. So whoever else, right? Everybody's talking about all these different avenues in which you can generate leads for your business. If you're a wholesaler, for example, not that those mechanisms don't work, but I think wholesaling cold calling is becoming underrated. I think it's still a great way to lock up deals. I know, RJ, I think you said last week or some week before that cold calling is dead or something like that. So maybe you disagree, and that's cool. But I think cold calling has definitely become underrated.
All right, there we go. Rebuttal, Bates, go ahead.
Listen, in regards to what CJ just said, what I said was I don't think new wholesalers should cut their teeth by cold calling. Okay, I don't believe in that. I don't think you need to put in your reps by getting your teeth kicked in. Okay. Now,
about putting in reps is what you can afford to do.
I break that down. I have a video. I'll send it to you. I break it down where the cost per contract is the exact same. But that being said, as far as underrated skill, I think we have a tendency to undermine how creative entrepreneurs can be and really lean in on that creativity. We've got a couple of people in my community. One has made several million dollars from virtual driving for dollars, and they've essentially taught themselves how to do it, utilizing different systems that eventually led to the virtual host or the virtual driving for dollars portion of batch leads. Another person in my community is currently running a multiple seven-figure operation, and they're going out and they're door knocking. And actually building a door knocking team. And here's the thing, they're taking skill sets that are being brought by people that are more successful than them in this industry. And they're saying, instead of competing in the same lead generation tactics that everyone's talking about, cold calling, PPC, PPL, whatever, we're going to go out and we're going to be creative and we're going to find a new way to turn the lights on, to talk to more people, to make more offers, to get more deals. I think you can never undermine creativity, and that's where the true underdogs come out. And that's where you see people like in the past in March Madness, you know, this question comes from March Madness, the Princeton's winning with zone defense and stuff like that. It was creativity that really kind of led to their underdog success.
RJ Bates with the 37-minute rebuttal there. All right, Leon, what about you?
I read this strictly as business strategy and not necessarily related just to real estate. And if I took this as I'm a 16 seed and I want to beat a number one seed, I'm going to break this down to fundamentals. And this is near and dear to Steve's heart. So you don't necessarily need to call on Steve next because I'll just take his turn as well.
Fantastic.
I think the number one thing that the business strategy that is underrated still to this day is sales follow-up. We know that depending upon which study that you read, percentages can vary, but generally it's about 80% of most sales take about 5 touches, right, of follow-up. Generally 5 or more, 80% of those. And we know that salespeople, again, depending upon which study that you read, less than half actually follow up once, less than half, okay? And the ones that do, less than half of those actually reach out more than one time. But we know it takes a minimum of 5 for most sales to get a sale for follow-ups. but yet half of the people don't make one. So to me, if getting into business is about making money, and we know money is generated by sales, how could that not be the most underrated and be a 16 to take out of one?
There we go. Well thought out. Leon G. Barnes. We love it. All right, Steve, what about you? What are your thoughts?
First, I just want to applaud Leon for having the best answer of all time in the history of PTD. I mean, I think without a doubt, that was the best answer ever. Number two, RJ's answer to what's the best strategy that's underrated is his strategy was to come up with more strategies. So for me, I would say that the most valuable strategy is thinking time. You know, thinking time, actually slowing down and thinking is one of the hardest things to do. And I have it time blocked and I violate it way too often. But every time I sat down and just thought, I'm so happy that I did, right? Because I came up with an idea or realized something we're doing wrong or something I wanted to do. And for whatever reason, we never got it done. I'm always finding holes in my business when I slow down and think. Someone that I admire is Ryan Pineda. You know what he does? He does only two things: think and create content. That's it. He's built everything he's got from just thinking and creating content, right? He doesn't do, he just tells other people what to do. He just thinks and creates content. That's it. So I think the most underrated strategy, if you're going to take out someone bigger than you, slow down and think.
So completely ignoring Steve's irrelevant answer, it's hilarious. CJ and Leon, their two answers, I literally have a video called Stop Cold Calling and then another one called Follow-Up is for Failures.
And hey, what was the name of that book? What was the name of the book? Was it Create Content and Grow Rich? What was it? was it 50 Deals in 50 States and Grow Rich? It's on the tip of my tongue.
That might be the best response Steve has ever had.
They're gonna start calling RJ Industry Plant soon, man.
hey, and Steve.
Cat waves and call RJ what, out.
Steve, can you tell me the fortune is in the what, Steve? Where's this
follow-up? I think is what they call it. I think the fortune's in follow-up.
That's what everybody says. Here's the thing: the people that need to follow up are people that can't close.
Okay? Oh wow.
This is up there with the most terrible advice I've ever heard. Please go ahead.
See, here's the problem.
Shout out to Titanium University, man. Please go ahead.
What people hear is the fortune's in the follow-up, the gold's in the follow-up. And so they always want to set up following up. They never go to close. They never even attempt to close. Because they're told is that where the gold comes is from me following up. I got to touch them 5 or 6 times. No, that's not the case. That's only the case if you're not asking the right questions and you're not trying to solve a problem. You need 6 conversations to solve a seller's problem, then you have a lot more problems.
So I think the other thing, there's another book out there, Active Listening. You might want to check that one out as well, RJ. what Leon was talking about was following with a lead until you get them back on the phone, right? So you met with someone, something didn't happen, or you never got them on the phone, was continuing following up. It was not the part about have 6 conversations with them. I'll send you a copy of the book, though. It's a really good book.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's saying to talk to somebody that's interested in selling their house to then decide to not make an offer to then follow. I don't know that anybody's saying that.
Here's the problem.
What I'm saying is this, is when you are making a sale, in most cases, when you're truly making a sale, there's going to be, on average, there's going to be follow-up required. When you're order taking, you don't need to have any follow-up.
Well, also when you're primarily focused on warm or hot leads from inbound marketing, from PPC or PPL, it doesn't require the same level of follow-up that it may require when you're doing cold outreach.
Listen, CJ, just for you, bro, because I got your phone number, I'm going to blow up your text feed with me closing cold call leads on one dial, okay?
I don't know if you
all think these are all just inbound leads.
Okay? I don't know if you noticed yet or not, but ask around. Do you know how much I don't look at my phone?
I do.
Right? I don't even have any notifications on this device, man. All right, you might hit me up 1,000 times. I might not know it for 6 months.
CJ, here's my rebuttal of what you just said. You said no one's saying that we need to talk to a seller 5 or 6 times without making an offer or anything like that. The problem that I see in this industry is specifically with social media, 30, 40 second reels, shorts, all this shit that we put out there. No one's saying enough for the people that are completely ignorant to actually know what you guys are saying. That's the problem. What they hear is I'm supposed to cold call. I'm supposed to call someone 5 or 6 times to get a deal. That's what I'm supposed to do. They think that's actually what they're supposed to go out there and do.
Well, hey, look, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not the one out here making these reels you're talking about, bro. All
right. I will say, think about RJ. This question didn't say, this wasn't specific just to real estate investing. It said business strategy. So to be fair to you, you're right. Steve has a business because more people need to learn how to one call close, right? More people need sales training to become better at that. Most people need to always be sharpening that saw. But from a business standpoint, not every product is a one call close. Not every product in every business.
Well, he's the king closer.
There we go.
I mean, if you're selling a 7-figure, you know, computer, program, software, those things are not, you don't sell those to hospitals and to big entities in a one call close.
I'd be afraid to walk into Bates dealership. Like, I'm going to walk in and he's going to one call close me. Like, I can't even look at the car.
You got to buy the car today.
Yo. All right. Man, it's a spirited PTD today. I like it. I like the energy.
I've never seen RJ speechless before.
He's over there plotting everyone's demise.
I said what I need to say.
Okay? He doesn't live in the serial killer house anymore. That looks like a safe, responsible person's.
It's a safe room. RJ upgraded to the safe room. All right. We are going to get into question number 3, which is our viral video. Here you go.
Welcome to NBC News Daily, where we are coming on the air with breaking news on the crypto front. Just moments ago, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in federal prison. He was found guilty back in November of orchestrating a multi-billion dollar fraud that led to the collapse of his company. A jury convicted him on all 7 counts of wire fraud as well as conspiracy.
All right, here we go. Was Sam Bankman's verdict fair for wagering billions of people's money? Start us off, RJ.
I just like the fact that she said craps there and the way that she was saying his business went under. I mean, is it fair for 25 years for losing billions or wagering, I guess is how we're saying it, billions of people's money? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many more years the guy has left, but I mean, he's clearly gone out and done something that no one should ever do. I mean, we had a question a couple of weeks ago about this happening in Vietnam. And over there, it was the death penalty. You know, I mean, 25 years is essentially probably going to be the rest of this man's life. I think a standard's being set that, hey, in today's day and age, you can't go out and risk billions of dollars and take advantage of people, and it's setting a standard there. I mean, do I think it's fair? Yeah, he did the wrong thing, and he probably deserves it.
There we go. Thoughtful RJ Bates. I like it. All right, Leon, what about you? What are your thoughts, fair or not?
No, not fair. And not for why RJ thinks I'm saying this, because I'm not just trying to be contradictory to RJ, although I do enjoy it. It's not fair because if you look at what Bernie Sanders got 150 years for doing the exact same thing. 150 years. This dude is 32 years old. He's only getting 25 years. That means he'll be eligible to get out at worst case at 57 years old. He's still got a lot of life to live after he gets out. So from a fair standpoint, it seems light compared to what Bernie Sanders got.
That's a great point. Wow. Leon always coming with the obscure fact from this part of the internet over here. I like it. All right, Steve, what are your thoughts? Fair or not fair?
while I agree with Leon, Bernie Sanders probably does belong in prison. I think he was talking about Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff. I just realized that. Yeah.
It's all right.
I was thinking of 150 years. So therefore, I was thinking of Bernie Sanders, not Bernie Madoff.
There you go. So there's a song, Method Man, right? Where he talks about how I'm going to seal something shut and keep feeding you and feeding you and feeding you. Right. That's kind of how I felt when I was victim of a Ponzi scheme very, very early before I got into real estate. Right. I was like, well, I hope that that's for me. That's what I would want them to do to this guy. So for stealing 25 billion or whatever that number is, even if it's a billion, whatever it is, stealing from multiple people willfully, I think that 25 years is light. I see no reason for him to be breathing our oxygen. I just don't see it. I don't see he's not bringing any value to society after this, right? So I agree with the whole Vietnam thing, or the same thing they do in China, right? It sucks, but what's he going to provide as value afterwards? So if you're stealing a lot of people's money intentionally, you're harming people. Like, people work hard. We talk about affordable housing, right? People that are trying to buy a home right now, they're having a hard time getting together a down payment, closing costs, and now coming, you know, commissions, this and that. It's hard. People are working really hard for their money. And to willfully steal all these people's money intentionally, on purpose, I think that you shouldn't be on this planet, and there's going to be a good place for you afterwards.
There you go. Steve coming in hot with the Vietnam punishment. I like it. All right, CJ, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think you can quantify it. I mean, they say wagering billions, you know, or risking billions. But, I mean, he outright stole from people intentionally, right? I mean, there was no – it's one thing to borrow. Somebody knows they're risking their money by lending it into an opportunity and a loss to occur. That's investing, right? But if you're parking money places – right, with the assumption that money's safe and somebody steals it, I think that's certainly a little bit different. You know, he was providing a service ultimately and stole. So I don't know that 25 or whatever years is enough. I think it should be as many years as humanly possible. You know, I don't know if he should the death penalty or not. You know, I think the death penalty is okay. If we lost, what is this guy's name? Sam Bankman-Fried or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody would miss him, but somebody would too, right? So I don't know, you know, who knows. But he should get as much time as humanly possible. He shouldn't be able to be outside ever again. I think they were too light with him throughout his hearing before he got sentenced with letting him be on house arrest. And originally they were still letting him use a computer until he messed that up. So I think it's terrible, man, what he did. A lot of people were affected by that and are still affected from it.
Steve, how do you think this is different than what, like, Jordan Belfort did?
It's not really.
So, realistically, we should all look forward to, in 25 years, he's going to come out and become a motivational speaker and then start a podcast that everyone wants to pay $10,000 to go be on.
I mean, I don't see that him having that those social skills, but – I mean, theoretically, I guess that would be the same.
So that's why I think it's light, is the guy has an opportunity to come out and still, you know, he's a very smart. There's a really good book that just came out, I don't know, a couple months ago about this entire story. And he is definitely a super smart individual. So if you really want to punish him, he gets a life sentence and he gets to work for our government. You put a very, very smart person working every day for free for our government, and his job is to weed out anyone that he feels like there's red flags for these type of Ponzi schemes. That's what he gets to do for the rest of his life. You want to talk about actually serving after doing all the bad that he did? That's how you sentence a guy.
That's like what that. I said about the lady in Vietnam. I said, I don't see the reason why we kill her. Use that brain to our advantage. Put her to work to try to stop people in the future from doing this. I mean, because he was able to get it to this level. Most people would never be able to take it that far.
But think about this, though, for a second, RJ, because you kind of hit it, all right? Why was he able to take it to this level? Does anybody know how he was able to take it to this level? It's called marketing, all right? He was an expert marketer. He knew how to align himself with visible marketing opportunities, putting himself on the Miami Heat Arena, right?
Tom Brady.
He was aligning himself with Giselle. Celebrity. He was speaking all over the country for years. He was the figurehead when it came to crypto exchanges, right? He was invited to speak on any and every single stage. So when you bring up Jordan Belfort, right, this guy, Sam, you know, is in this position because of the same thing that's elevated Jordan Belfort since he got out of jail, right? And so what happens is, like, when these things happen, there's no accountability to media, right? There's no accountability to people that gave him a platform and extended him credibility, right? Edified him and made people see him as somebody trustworthy to do business with, and then saw his businesses somewhere that it was safe and secure to park money at. The whole time the guy wasn't doing shit.
He strategically
he was having office orgies.
To Chris's point, he strategically went after, and he's an introvert by nature, but he forced himself to do all of those interviews and align with celebrities. You know, this was calculated.
All right, there we go. So we got some strong opinions there. I like it. All right. Before we get into question number four, want to send it over to a word from our sponsor, Pat Hilton at Acoustic Force Media.
The world is changing. So is the world of business. It's never been easier to get your message out to the entire planet. Let me help you crack the code today. My name is Pat Hilton. My social media agency can produce you the same custom digital content that landed me on stage at the biggest business events in the world. I've rocked the roof off with the best digital marketers in the game. Getting social media content filmed and produced for your business is now as easy as ordering a cup of coffee and hopping on a video call with your friend. We find trending topics in your niche, coach you through recording in the comfort of your home or office, create engaging clips and graphics, then upload them online and manage all your social media pages. Bring your brand to life. Contact Acoustic Force Media today.
All right. Thank you, Pat, for all you do, particularly making RJ look somewhat presentable for PTD. We really appreciate that. All right. We're going to get into question number four, sports. Earlier in the week, Shohei Ohtani and Jontay Porter were involved in a sports gambling scandal. Porter was betting he would perform perform under his averages in multiple games, and Ohtani allegedly used his interpreter to place wagers. Do you think sports gambling is hurting sports and sports fans? All right, start us off, Leon.
I don't. I mean, for as long as sports have been around, I mean, goodness, human beings have been sporting for hundreds, thousands of years, right? There's been gambling. I think sports were created just for gambling. So just because it's legal in almost every state now doesn't mean that people haven't been gambling and point shaving and doing all these things in the past. So this is, to me, it's always been happening. You're just seeing it and hearing about it more today because we have more social media and more media coverage of it.
There we go. Vote for it's always been around. All right, Steve, what are your thoughts?
I think it is hurting it. And the only reason why is that it's just easier to do. So, like, the barriers to restriction is what's making the difference. Like, in order to go and place bets, you had to go through additional channels, right? Whereas now anybody can do it from their phone. I mean, you look at the story with Jontay, like, he was posting on his Twitter to follow me on my Twitter betting profile. And in there, he had like a Discord or something about talking about the bets to place. You just make it easier for everyone to kind of follow this. So, yeah, I don't think this is good for sports. Who was it? The coach, was it Cleveland? Right? Like, he's getting death threats from people losing bets, right? Because they're placing large amounts of money and he's getting death threats for his team not meeting whatever over under or whatever. I don't think that's good. I don't think that's good for sports. So I do think it's hurting sports. It's putting potentially more pressure on the players. I don't know whether that's good or bad. I don't think I'm not a fan of this sports gambling.
Steve is not pro death threats. We've now extracted that information today. That's fantastic.
Unless it's from me. Unless it's from me.
Fair enough. All right, CJ, what are your thoughts on sports betting here?
Sports betting is starting to feel like, you know, marijuana 10 years ago, right? Like this, are we just going to all keep acting like probably the majority of athletes don't place bets or have somebody within their sphere of influence that is betting in some capacity and they have awareness of it? I mean, I don't think there's such a big deal with sports betting. I really don't. I hear Steve on his point. I laughed because it kind of sounded to me like probably what everybody from NAR and all the realtors are saying about wholesalers and trying to get that regulated. I mean, look, having this perspective that betting should be stopped, quite literally to Leon's point, sports is rooted and founded in betting. Like that's literally for like ancient times. That's what sports and entertainment, like that type level of entertainment is for. It's just power of social media, you know, all these things right now with the emergence of, you know, FanDuel and all these different things. Everybody's left to their own devices, man. And if you're gambling away your retirement on, you know, a Yankees game or something, I mean, your problem is deeper. If you're not going to gamble on the game, you're going to gamble on something else anyway. You're a gambler. Right, you're not just a sports gambler, you're a gambler. It's a gambling addiction.
There you go. Make sure you use, you know, affiliate code the U over there.
Sports games and FanDuel, by the way.
You know, yeah. FanDuel is officially a sponsor of the U. All right, RJ,
my guys at FanDuel, man.
RJ, what are your thoughts on this?
CJ stole part of my answer.
Great.
The marijuana there. I was going to be like, listen, I mean, this is kind of like state. I live in a state where both marijuana and sports gambling are still illegal. Like, let's be real. We're all smoking weed and we're all betting on sports. Come on. Thank you. Right. Let's be real. It's happening. Let's get over it. I don't think it's bad for sports. I think it's amazing for sports. I love seeing the announcers talk about it there at the end. I always thought it was funny back in the day. The first one I ever saw was Brent Musburger, Northwestern against Ohio State, where there was a lateral at the end. The ball goes in, and he was like, man, there's some really upset fans because Ohio State basically covered on a game that they should have never covered. I always thought those moments were awesome, but now it's openly talked about. I love seeing that ESPN talks about this part of the sport because – most sports fans, they do care about this. It is part of the day. And when you look at the numbers from a business aspect, because that's what sports really is a business, it's increased the viewership across the board. I mean, even the NFL, which is the juggernaut of all sports, viewership is up 20% since sports gambling has become legal. So I do think it's good for sports. As regards to the fraud and athletes betting, you're never going to be able to stop that. That's always been around and it always will be around. It's just about getting to the root cause and stopping them before it becomes too big of a problem.
So my biggest problem is not necessarily the sports. My biggest thing is this is another vice that we've normalized, right? And look, I've spent a lot of time in casinos, right? I've played a lot of poker in my life. I think that the easier you make it for everyone to get to, the more of a problem it can be. The difference between marijuana and sports gambling, with marijuana, I mean, I don't know anybody that's ever overdosed on marijuana, right? So the argument that is a gateway drug to something else. Those things are still illegal. But with sports gambling, you start off with $5, $10, $20, $50, $100. Like over time, who knows how many people are losing everything because of how easy it is to go, right? Versus before you had to get in your car, drive to the track, or drive over here, right? It was just a little bit more involved. So there'd be fewer people with gambling addictions. I think we're normalizing gambling addictions. I don't think that's
good for our society. You think we should outlaw alcohol and the delivery of alcohol to people's houses? Because you can... Yeah.
Well, you I didn't know you could deliver alcohol. I guess that makes sense.
Say that, the problem is you could say that about literally anything.
Anything. And if you look at this question, Steve, and I do agree with you that... You know, it is more normalized, but it's normalized because people were doing it. Again, going back to CJ's reference to marijuana, people were finding it. They were going to get it. And if you look at this specific question, where did Shohei Ohtani's interpreter gamble? What state?
Not Texas.
What state did he gamble in? He gambled in California, which it is not legal in the state of California to sports bet. So he didn't have this. He had to go to an illegal sports bookie. So regardless if it's legal or not in your state, people that gamble are going to find a way to gamble.
Yeah, bookies have been around since, you know, if you want to do something, I'm of the belief if somebody wants to do something, they're going to do it, right? Like it doesn't matter how hard you try to cut them off, not let them get access. People will find their way to the things that they want. So to eliminate betting on sports, I think, would be pretty crazy.
I'm not saying we can outlaw sports completely. I'm saying having it where it's in everyone's phones, I think we're making too easy.
But I'm going to challenge you, Steve, right? It sounds like regulation, and you often present yourself
as yes. Sport regulation. Yes, CJ.
And my problem, the reason I'm
100
in the
points
middle,
for CJ.
Yeah, the reason I'm in the middle, Steve, is because I get annoyed from people on the right. I get annoyed from people on the left. Because everybody just speaks from convenience, but they act like they're aligned to a specific party, right?
So
if you're gonna be right, I'm just telling you, if you're gonna be right and raise your hand and say that's who I am, you gotta be there all the time.
Right? Hey, I'm with you that. So my thing, CJ, my thing with that is I've never said we should have no regulations, right? Although I'm very little low regulation person, my biggest thing is leave everything the hell alone.
Well, that's
leave everything
we're
the way it is.
Well, that's what we're saying. Then why are you? I can't believe you're against this.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, this is not leave everything alone. This is we've added this in the last couple of years. I don't know. I think we'll look back, right?
Leaving again, the world would have been the one that never been outlawed.
That's right.
Right. That's what I was saying.
Okay, illegal so we'll look back. Bookies, I think
the everything illegally done, like same thing again, going back to marijuana, none of that would have been illegal. Bootlegging was illegal. Why? Because we outlawed alcohol, right?
So that's what he wants. That's what he wants. You just heard him. You can't overdose on weed, but you know, all right, well, you can drink yourself to death, so better outlaw it.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
So I've accepted the deaths we're going to have from alcoholism, right? Like, that's just the way it's going to be, right?
I've also accepted the fact that you vote for Joe Biden.
And I'm also, for the first time in a very long time, Steve, very disappointed in your answer.
Yeah.
All right.
That's fine. I'll live with that.
All right. Yeah, I don't know that I can tell my friends anymore that you're one of my right-wing friends.
He's not, bro. He hasn't been for a long time.
Oh, God. Yeah, all right. Man. Hey. Is this working? Can anybody hear that?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. We're going to get into our last question for today. P. Diddy is involved in a Homeland Security investigation where his homes are being raided and investigated for evidence pertaining to human trafficking. Before the raids, P. Diddy flew off in his private jet to multiple islands to presumably escape warrants for his arrest or something similar. What would be your ultimate escape plan if you were fleeing from something? Let's start it off with Mr. Right Wing over there, Steve.
Man, what would be my ultimate escape plan? Is that even a possible thing these days? Right? There's cameras everywhere. Things are tracked. There's Taylor Swift suing people because they're tracking her flights. You got Elon Musk suing people for privacy because they're tracking his flights. Man, if you really, really want to, I don't have a great plan. The closest thing I can think of, what was that movie, Face Off, with Nicolas Cage and who's the other guy? Right, like
Travolta.
Travolta. That's the closest thing. I don't have a masterful. Too. Yeah, good for him. So I don't have a masterful plan for escaping. I'm resigned to the fact with the world that we have today that there's no hiding. They will find you.
Steve. All right. CJ, what are your thoughts on this?
Man, first and foremost, man, P. Diddy's going to jail. he's going to jail. All right. Homeland Security raiding your shit. I mean, it's not like it's the FBI. It's not local PD. I mean, this is Homeland Security. All right. These are RJ and Steve and Leon's friends that helped build that wall. All right. They're pulling up. All right. It's the real deal. What would I do? I mean, I'd probably be a little bit smarter of a criminal if it was me. I'd flee before I got caught. All right. When he settled his suit a couple of months ago with Cassie. And shout out to the women getting justice against this guy, by the way. But if it was me, man, wouldn't even have settled the suit, man. I'd have been on the first private jet smoking. I'd be on Love Air. And I'd be on whatever Dubai or whatever. And I would have been gone, man. I think this is a terrible display of ego. I think whatever he gets, he deserves it. And the stuff that's coming out is pretty crazy. I mean, they said this guy's got cameras all over his house. And I mean, so anyway, P. Diddy's going to jail. That's all I'm saying.
There we go. All right. So my apologies. Apparently none of you guys have heard the end all over here. I've been trying to cut all of you short. Speaking of short, RJ, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, who would have known that the P stood for pussy? I mean, Jesus. Like a champ, okay? If you didn't do it.
Happy birthday, Steve, too, man.
If you didn't do it, then let them come in, put the handcuffs on you. Listen, I got raided by the FBI once, okay? It's not that big of a deal. I stood there and I said, I don't know what you're doing. I didn't do anything. They apologized. They said, you didn't do anything. It's what he should have done here, but he really didn't do anything. This is obviously he did a lot of things. As far as my ultimate escape plan, the only thing that I could think of is the last place anyone would think that I would go is to the Real Estate Disruptor Studios. That's exactly. I would wind my way there. Because no one's going to think that anyone would ever actually want to go there. And so that's where I would hide. I would hide in Steve Trang's office and the Real Estate Disruptor's office and wait on Homeland Security to come find me there with my communist friend, Steve Trang.
Wow. Jeez, wow. Might I suggest hide behind the NFT? Nobody's looking for it. All right.
Yo. Yo. I have feelings,
Steve,
man. Damn it.
Steve, man, you just got... Steve, all you can do is laugh through the pain, bro. Dang, he said hide behind the NFT. You know what's crazy? You know what's so crazy? Phenomenal hiding spot, man. That's crazy. Nobody's even going to come take. Homeland Security could raid the office.
Yo.
And they say, they Google it. They do an image search. They'd hold their phone up, do a quick image search, and it'd come up and it'd say NFT owned by light-skinned Steven Train.
It's Leon's turn. It's Leon's turn.
And they wouldn't even take it off the wall. They'd be like, eh.
It's Leon's turn.
Here, let's give Leon his minute.
Leon, I'm sorry.
Then we can get back to cooking and roasting. All right, Leon.
I'm glad you saved the best for last here, because as you guys all know, the true meaning of the G in Leon G. Barnes is gentleman. So you know I would never do anything like this to have to flee, right? But if I did, which I wouldn't, but if I did, so this is very easy. I thought about this. This is a well thought out plan. First of all, I'm getting on a Greyhound bus because no one would ever look for me on a Greyhound bus ever that knows me. Second, I'm headed to Texas. I'm headed right to RJ Bates bunker / country club, whatever the hell that thing is. I'm going to his bunker club. That's where I'm going. I know I will be protected because you know Texas has a lot of guns. And now we find out I can sports gamble and smoke weed while I'm doing it, according to his answer a little earlier. Hell, why would I not go there first and foremost? And then second, no one would ever believe that I'm friends with RJ. So no one's gonna look for me there. I'm out.
Dude, I heard that the wood paneling there is bulletproof. All right. And it's radar proof, man. They can't even like infrared it or anything. Like RJ's got that special Texas cedar plank wall. All right. Now he's got the cinder block wall. He's got the special block.
They call that Texas insulation.
The FBI walked in here. They took one look around. I one call closed them right there on the spot. And they walked out with an apology to me saying, Mr. Bates will never be back.
Nah, okay. Man.
So
they looked at the trinkets. They like, we can't put this dude in jail.
So you look at,
can't even do this to this guy, man.
You look at
he's
Diddy.
Gonna be in jail telling him he's a Viking, man. He can't do that.
You look at Diddy. He doesn't have to just hide from Homeland Security and FBI. He's got to hide from everybody.
Yeah,
right. I mean, they're talking about he's got footage of all these celebrities. Yeah, he's got a recognizable face, but everyone's gonna be looking for him, right? Like. There's no celebrity, or all the celebrities that he's been blackmailing all this time are going to fund whatever is necessary to have him, you know, face justice one way or another. And I just want to give a big shout out to 50 Cent for breaking the case, right? I mean, like,
yeah, shout out to 50, man.
Where would we be without 50? Like, 50's been on this case, I don't know, like 2 months now, 3 months now.
Where would we be? We wouldn't have to stare at that stupid ass picture right behind your head every day.
Yeah. Nah, Steve, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, you're 100%.
That's
right.
The guy with a plushie of himself behind himself.
Yeah.
Right, the bigger problem here is, you know, all this stuff started happening for Diddy, you know, after he tried to sue a publicly shared multi-billion dollar company that everybody, I had no awareness that he didn't own Ciroc or have ownership in Ciroc all this time.
He didn't?
No, he doesn't have any equity in it at all. He was a paid spokesperson, very well paid, by the way. He got paid over $1 billion to be a spokesperson all this time. But he tried to fight an entity of that size, with that magnitude, that paid him that much money and thought that he could go to that type of war and that it wouldn't be an all-out blitz on any and every skeleton he had in his closet. The fact that he made that assumption should be a Harvard class in ego.
He got a little over his skis. He got a little over his skis. And then, you know, if you guys don't know, Matt can attest to this. I actually have a 50 Cent poster in my office. So yeah, the reason why
explains a lot. Now I kind of get it.
Right next to his Diddy poster.
Yeah. Now I kind of get it.
Take that.
He's got a 50 NFT on the other wall. So
Now I will. Hey, 50 needs all the financial support. I mean, he's been breaking cases left and right.
He really did, though. He's been putting a lot of pressure on this situation, man.
Absolute shout. Closer, man. Yo, shout out to 50. You know, like, he doesn't get nearly the recognition that he should. All right. We have enjoyed today's PTD. Looking at the board here, we have CJ coming back in, winning PTD this week. Coming in, must have been the energy drink prior to. He was charged up. You like that plug right there? I know you do. All right. We've had a ton of fun here. We're going to go ahead and do some outros. Start us off. CJ, our winner. Say bye to the people.
Bye to the people. It was good to be here this week. Good conversation. And I do, before I leave, right, I do just want to say a special shout out to NAR. All right. I promise. I it's not that I don't like you. I'm just trying to make you better. All right. That's all. I'm just trying to make you better. And peace out.
There we go. CJ as a member of NAR would be epic. All right. RJ, say bye to the people.
Yeah, guys, great episode. Really enjoyed the conversation today. I do want to make a special announcement. I do have two different types of videos coming up on my YouTube channel. I'm super proud of them. They're embedded with humor, and I'm really looking forward to my episode with Leon G. Barnes. Spoiler alert, his biggest accomplishment in his life is his ability to procreate. Okay, that's what it's going to be about. I'm really looking forward to it. Leon, if you want to give some more examples of that episode, you can.
Dear God, help us all. All right. Leon G. Barnes, say bye to the people.
So I just want everyone to know that I love coming on this show, and I am not officially friends with RJ Bates. CJ and Steve, I'm friends with. RJ, not so much. And I do want you to know that whatever you see on his channel with me on camera, that was not me. That is an AI robot, whatever it was, that is not me. They have dubbed over sound. That is not my responses. I promise you that.
Deep fake. We got deep fake Leon. I like it. All right. Last, certainly not least, Steve, say bye to the people.
I think if we were to have an award for who most likely to pull a Diddy, I think it would be Leon. That's just put that out there. I'm just going to put that out there. RJ started the show great. He was right on the first answer and went downhill from there. So I apologize to everyone who's watching. And then you ever watch Cops where they always bring out the guy? Like, and he's in a wife beater, always in a wife beater, right? And he says, like, baby, the reason why I beat you is because I love you so much, right? Like, that's CJ and NAR. Like, that's it.
Oh, man. Like, I'm going to give Steve an extra point just for the outro there. I'm not going to lie. First time I've done that. I like it. All right. We've had a ton of fun today. We hope that you guys enjoyed it as well. We will see you next week. Same time, same place.